Broadcasting live from the Capital OTB studios, this is Racing Across America with Seth Merrow.
Good morning. Welcome to the Sunday edition of Racing Across America. I'm Seth Merrow. Thanks for joining us this morning. As usual on a Sunday, we'll recap some of the stakes action from yesterday, highlighted probably by the Sham and Life is Good. Who would have thought? Bob Baffert with a good three-year-old coming into the new year. But Life is Good with a triple-digit buyer win to send himself on his way the three-year-old track out in Southern California. But there was some other nice stakes action, including a great stakes card at Gulfstream yesterday. We'll recap some of those. We'll do a little handicapping also. But top of the show, I have a guest sitting in with me because we went live a couple days ago, and I was kind of surprised. I was talking before I went on the air, had some Twitter chatter that people are already taking advantage of a brand new platform to watch Capital OTB TV via, and on Twitter yesterday some folks were enjoying it, so that was nice to see. But I thought we'd bring in Capital OTB President John Signor this morning to talk about the new venue, the new, as I say, platform for watching the television network that I think will broaden the audience. I know during Saratoga a lot of folks say they come in and visit and they watch while they're here at Saratoga, and that they leave saying to me and some of the other OTB folks, wish we had this at home wherever they are. And now that'll work out. We're available on Roku. John, good morning.
Hey, Seth. How you doing?
Pretty good.
Thanks for having me this morning on this winter day, right?
Breaking out the new year with a little snow yesterday. Gets a little snow later today. But as I always say, a little later in the afternoon, stay tuned. We will live vicariously through Tampa.
There you go. And that's right. The Florida tracks do make us feel better up here, don't
absolutely.
They?
Absolutely. But tell us a little bit about it, because we went live a couple days ago, and we were playing around in the studio with it. And as I say, I was surprised yesterday. Already some chatter on Twitter that folks are already plugged into the new platform.
Well, you know, it's funny. We've been talking about this for probably the past 2 years, trying to figure out how best to get on Roku, how to expand Capital OTB TV. And we looked and we tried to, like, contact Roku, and it was just very difficult to process. We also, we created our own app, actually, in thoughts that we would eventually be on Roku and have our channel. Subsequently, we ended up talking to Roberts Communications, RTN, Roberts Television Network, and they were, like, ecstatic about putting us on their app, if you will, and offering our channel as part of their package. It seemed like the easiest and most direct way to get onto Roku, so we made an agreement, and ultimately decision was made to move forward, and we are, it was supposed to be as of January 1st, but I think we were on December 31st.
Yeah, New Year's Day, New Year's Eve Day.
That we are now on Roku, and you can watch Capital OTB TV on Roku, and it's, I think it's $5 a month, which isn't bad. So if you have Spectrum and you have it for OTB channel, then, you can get Roku for, I think, $30 or $40, and then a one-time charge, and then $5 a month for Capital OTB TV. Just download, go to your, go to Roku, download the RTN app, Roberts Television Network, and then we will be one of the offerings. I think we're under special events. It's Capital OTB TV Network. So we're really excited about that. You know, we have a lot of bettors who, as you said, come to Saratoga, love the channel, love the coverage. And then they leave and they say, how do we, we wish we had you in our area. And actually, it helps our area as well. Our Spectrum signal does not go into every county that we represent. Oneida County, Clinton County up north. So this is a way for bettors to get, Capital OTB TV, see all our promotions, see, how to open an account, and things of that nature. So we're really excited about it. It'll expand our channel, and just beyond that, people go down to Florida, snowbirds, New York snowbirds go down there, and they're horse racing fans, and they're going to want to see what's going on back at the homestead. So download the app, RTN, and you'll get Capital TV. And like I said, I think it's $5 just for the OTB channel. I think it's $15 for the thoroughbred package, if you will. And then for the entire package, it's $25 a month. Which I think includes thoroughbred harness, and then Capital OTB and some other special events, if you will. So we're excited about it. It's great news. It's something we've really been looking, trying to find a way how to do it. We found a path to do it, and we're happy we did. So
yeah, and for lack of better terminology, because I'm not sure what it is, but essentially we're kind of a sub-channel on the RTN channel. So if people pull up Roku and you're going through the channels, you'll see RTN. And that's how you'll get us. You can go to their website and kind of, as you say, sign up just for Capital. And there's a shot of their website, and you can then just sign up for the OTB part of it. Or as you say, we're part of any broader package you get via RTN. As well. So it'll be a lot of fun. Obviously, people that are listening and watching us right now probably watching, you know, via cable.
Right.
But if you have friends who come for the summertime and sit and go, oh, I wish I had this at home, spread the word. As you noted, a little of our northern part of our area, the Capital OTB area, out in the west a little bit, maybe it's not available. So we'll be spreading the word to those folks as well.
Sure. And people have, you know, and there's people have Roku on. So you have three TVs in your household. Two of them may just have Roku.
Yeah.
So if you want to watch,
that's a good point.
You know,
that's,
and you want to watch racing on those, you know, down in the man cave or something, you can download the RTN app, watch Capital OTB on your TV. If you just have Roku, you don't necessarily need cable. So just need Wi-Fi.
And you know, over the past few years, again, I've had people say, "Gee, I wish I had OTB," as they leave Saratoga for the summer. And I've said to people, "You can watch on the computer." And I know a lot of people do. My friend Sam out in Buffalo, he attaches an HDMI cable from his computer to his TV,
sure,
and is able to watch via computer. But I think a lot of people's mindset, maybe I want to watch on TV, and this is now going to give them that option.
Absolutely.
I think it's going to expand the audience.
Absolutely. No, we're really excited about it, and we're happy to do it, and we're happy to provide this to our fans. And especially in our region where they don't get our TV channel, but also, you know, more broadly across the country. It's great news for Capital OTB, and it's great news for Capital OTB TV. So we're looking forward to it. Looking forward. If you do, two things. If you do get us on the RTN network on Roku, you know, shoot us a Twitter message or a Facebook message, and also let RTN know that you're happy that Capital OTB now is offered as part of their package. I think they like it. They actually sent me an email. The first person who noticed it sent them an email and said, "Oh, this is great. I think I forwarded that to you guys." You know, this is terrific. I see Capital OTB is now being offered. So send RTN an email and let them know you appreciate it, that they added us to the mix, and we're happy to be part of it and to partner with RTN. So it's great.
Yeah, and as I say, it was a lot of fun yesterday as we were in here doing some programming to see some of the tweets pop up. Oh, hey, I came across.
Yeah.
It's fun to watch you guys. Nice show. So again, we appreciate that as well. So if you want to give us the feedback as you jump in and add viewership, we'd love to hear from you. Let's shift gears a little bit because it is the beginning of the new year. We put 2020 in the rearview mirror, and let's talk a little bit about Capital OTB and how 2020 was for our organization. I've said right along, obviously the first couple of months of the year were fairly normal, and then we hit March and April and things changed significantly. There was shutdowns of a bunch of tracks. We had the five tracks that kept going, including Fauner Park, who kept plugging along.
Amazing.
And put out fabulous numbers. And then the other tracks started to come in, and I've said all year long, I think racing did a great job during the pandemic era, and that was kind of reflected by handle numbers at various tracks. And I think 2020 was a pretty good year for racing. Certainly on the track, the product was very good, and unfortunately, the fans couldn't watch a lot of that live, but that's where we came in to provide the viewing opportunity and the entertainment opportunity in a tough year. And talk a little bit about Capital OTB through 2020.
Absolutely. Well, you know, it was crazy, right? I was in Florida, I think, on March 16th for St. Paddy's weekend. And I came back a day early because I just had a sense that they were going to close down New York. So I didn't want to get stuck in Florida. So flew back. And the next day, I think the governor announced that they were going to, you know, shut everything, non-essential businesses down. And it was crazy. We had to lay off 80% of our employees. We had to close all of our branches and 95% of our Easy Bets. A few Easy Bets stayed open because of the takeout dinners that they were providing. Two things that kind of, you know, saved us a little bit was Capital OTB TV. We were able to, as a media organization, if you will, Capital was able to continue to go because media was essential workers. And then we had a handful of workers that we kept on, including some marketing guys just to make sure that we continue to provide the services to our bettors. And through, you know, through OTB TV and through account wagering and through our, and we had to shut down our phone bet operation, our live phone bet operation. But we did have an offering of Touchtone, of, phone bet option, wagering option. So those two kind of carried us a little bit. And you had no idea what was going to happen, right? You're sitting there saying, you know, are we going to have to close branches and permanently lay people off? Fortunately, through March and April, I saw that our handle was, we were doing about 50% of our business. And I was looking at the other OTBs and they were doing maybe 25% business. And I was like, wow, you know, we have, you know, our internet is carrying us at least enough to get us through this thing. And then come, you know, June, early June, we were able to go back to offering, opening the clubhouse. We opened like some select branches where you're able to go in and just make a bet. You couldn't stay, you had to go in, make a bet and leave. Almost like if it was an ATM machine.
Okay, you know. Fund your account, withdraw funds.
Right, right. And so that at least got the branches, you know, maybe a handful of our good branches open. And then subsequently in late June, you know, we kind of opened all our branches. I think that was phase three of the, of the New York Forward program, the state program, which allowed 50% capacity in restaurants. We followed that. And ever since then, you know, we've been open and our employees have done yeoman's work, really, you know, under very stressful circumstances in terms of, you know, coming back to a totally different environment, you know, with masks and distancing and disinfectant. And, you know, half the battle is just having people wear their mask and tell them, you know, if you want us to be open, you have to wear a mask, you know. But for the most part, our patrons have done that, and we've been able to stay open. And so we've had a pretty good year, notwithstanding being shut down for 3 months. We didn't know where we would be. We've pretty much been able to bring everybody back. All our employees are back, and we had at the end of the year we generated a profit, which is great, and yeah. We're probably again. For probably the fourth or fifth year in a row, we're probably the only OTB in the state that's profitable on racing only. Some of these other OTBs get VLTs, and that's great. You know, we unfortunately don't have that, so we have to find a way to generate a profit from just the racing and wagering side, and we've been able to do that. And a lot of it has been our internet wagering, you know, our internet betting account has really done well. I think it's up 22% on the year over last year, which is amazing. Overall though, you know, it's not all flowers here. We're, you know, overall handle is down about 8%. We're down about 11 million compared to last year. And just the way the year went, you know, it's going to be, you know, we're going to go back to a normal year in 2021. So you're going to have the Derby in May. You're going to have the, you know, the Preakness in May and then the, you know, the way it was last year. So we were down probably, in March and April, we were probably down about 30% handles. Yeah. So that'll go up a lot, but come September, you know, July, August, September, we're probably going to come back down. So, but we foresee another strong year going forward. Knock on woods. I just want to say, you know, thanks to our bettors, thanks to the patrons who support us and bet through Capital OTB. Without their support, we can't, we wouldn't have survived the pandemic. And we did. We came out of the pandemic. We're going to survive. Advance. What's the NCAA?
Survive in advance.
Survive in advance. That's right. That's pretty much what we've done. We survived COVID, and we're going to advance into 2021 here. And the good news also is, you know, the counties are really, you know, in need of resources and revenues. We're going to be able to provide them with some revenues this year, notwithstanding the fact that we're down 8% total in business, but we've been able to cut costs. We closed some unprofitable branches. So we're sitting in a pretty good position for 2021. We ended 2020 with a profit. We're gonna be able to send money to the counties, which is our charge. We supported the racing industry, which is another one of our charges. And you know, this is done with the support and leadership of our board of directors. They really have been terrific. It's been a weird year. We usually have all our meetings in person. you know, we were doing Zoom meetings with our directors, but they were all, you know, very involved and involved in a lot of decision making moving forward, and you know, including Roku and things like that. So they should be proud of how Capital ETV came out this year, and I just want to thank, you know, our patrons, but also our employees for the good work they've done. Seth, you've been here since you came back, and you've been manning controls here. TV's been here, and you know, Brian, Dino, and Danny have done a good job, making sure that we're getting the product out there for our racing fans, and our frontline workers in the branches have done a really good job under a very difficult situation and circumstances. So we're happy. We generated a profit. We're looking forward to 2021. Don't know what to expect. I mean, obviously, COVID's pretty. I know it's pretty ravaging the area and the country. But hopefully, there's no shutdowns. And I don't know what's going to happen with Saratoga. Are they going to allow? I mean, even Kentucky Derby. I think I looked, and they're only allowing like 16,000 spectators. I mean, that place holds 175,000 people. So I don't know what that says about Saratoga. But we're keeping our fingers crossed that we'll be able to go to the track this year. And Saratoga can open.
Yeah, hopefully vaccines have made a difference by then. But also, I think this situation with the Buffalo Bills, where they're allowing fans in kind of a test case with people who are getting tested, that may play into outdoor type of sports like horse racing.
Right, yeah.
So we'll keep our fingers crossed there. But, yeah, I just want to reiterate what you said. Thanks to all the fans who stuck with us. And, we provided that distraction, I think, really during the main downtime. And again, now with, as you say, things kind of ramping up a little bit, I think people are staying at home as well. So hopefully we are providing some entertainment. I also will thank the guys in the control room for their work during the time. There was the time where I wasn't in here and I was watching at home myself and doing a few remotes from home during that period. But there was that period where it is amazing that we were profitable during the year, because there was that period with only five tracks. As we came into that period, there were a few days where it looked like there was going to be no racing.
Right.
We were kind of sitting here waiting. Is Gulfstream going out? And if they do, does everybody? But those five tracks kept it going, Oak Lawn and Gulfstream. And then as things ramped up again, folks, thanks to all of you, jumped back in.
About it. I mean, we were scrambling. I think there was, I'm trying to remember, because I was looking at last year's handle day by day. And I think there were a couple days where there was like one track running or something. But Will Rogers as well, right? Will Rogers, Fauner, and the Florida tracks, Gulfstream and Tampa. And I think they all extended their meets. Like Tampa extended their meet because they were doing so well. Oak Lawn, I think the same. But Oak Lawn was a big product for us, and I think they open up January 22nd this year. Yeah. We have Turf Paradise opening on this Monday, so that's good news too, because they usually race like starting in November, and they haven't raced when they shut down in 2020, they haven't raced since. So this is the first time they're coming back. So that's good news. So, we did lose some tracks, some nighttime tracks. We lost some Woodbine harness tracks. So hopefully they'll be back in the mix soon. But knock on wood, we started off 2021 pretty well. Numbers, it's only a couple days in, but the numbers have been strong, and hopefully that'll continue. And any suggestions from the fans on what we can do better here, let us know, because we want to provide you the best services we can. But we're going to go into 2021 in good shape. Not all OTBs can say that. And not only that, I mean, we're now in 2020, we're the largest OTB in the state. We exceeded the next OTB by like $40 million in business. So Capital ETV really, really stands out amongst all the OTBs in the state. And everybody here who works for OTB should be proud of that.
And I will say, once we got past that shutdown period and people came back to work and whatnot, we tried to do what I think we do best, and that's serve you, the customer. And up at Saratoga, without fans on track, we kind of expanded our promotion, and we were going around to various venues and doing some promotional events, Saratoga National, and we were downtown a few times as well. And I think there was a good response to that. We also have continued to benefit some of the racing charities, our face-off in the Times Union.
Sure.
And every week we were playing for charities there, and I think all the charities this year did very well. So we were able to, thanks again to you, the patrons, able to kind of keep some of the normalcy going once we got past that early first half year.
And we've always done more than everybody else in terms of promotions. Mike and Shannon do a really good job. Charles, you know, just getting the information out there, doing the promotions. We've always done that, but I think more so this year was important to do. We have the tourney bets. If you're out there and you like to play contests, I mean, tourney bets is a great way to do it. Just go on our website, capitalotb.com, click on the link, tourney bets, and there's a lot of free contests in there. There's a contest for $25. I mean, we pay a lot into those contests, and a lot of money gets paid to winners of those contests. And if you're a Capital OTB bettor and patron, which you have to be in those contests, and you're not playing, you're missing out on free money. So you should get in, absolutely. Tourney bet, go to capitalotb.com, click on tourney bets, and get in some of those contests. We're really going to be pushing that into 2021 because, you know, we're supporting it. We're putting a lot of money in, and we want that money to go to you guys. We want it to go to the Capital OTB bettors, not any of the other entities, because you have Saratoga Harnesses in it, Yonkers is in it, and Batavia or Western OTBs in it. So there's four entities in it. We want all that money going to the Capital OTB guys. So get in and get that money. And the last thing I would say about just 2020 is, you know, it was a weird period where there was no, you know, there was no casinos, no racinos, you know, no sports betting. Yeah. It was like the 1970s all over again. It was racing was front and center. It was the only game in town. And, you know, and we fortunately had our TV station, and we gave a lot of people a distraction that otherwise they wouldn't have had, being home, being quarantined, you know, trying to stay safe and trying to, stay away from people in order to keep this, control this, this pandemic. So again, great job by all the OTB employees. Congratulations on Roku. If you have Roku, download the RTN app.
Spread the word,
get get the Capital OTB TV network via Roku. It's $5 a month. That's an admission somewhere.
Yeah,
I don't know.
That's a
good price. And then let RTN know that you're happy that Capital OTB is now being offered on Roku. So great stuff. Thanks, Seth. Appreciate it. Let's move on to 2021. Good luck to everybody. Stay safe, stay healthy, and hopefully we'll see a lot of you up at Saratoga this summer.
You said it was like the 1970s. We should have had a throwback day with the old purple and gold, purple and orange logo and the big tickets.
The
BE Exacta.
Yeah, the big green ticket, right? Yeah.
The long ones,
yeah, sure.
John, appreciate it. And again, Roku, keep that in mind. And as I say, spread the word to any friends who are outside the area but have come to the area and appreciated the network. As you say, we've been thinking about it and working on it for a long time, and it is underway. So keep that in mind. I will reiterate the tourney bets. I got to push that much more because I look all the time and salivate. As an employee, I can't jump on. But contests are a lot of fun. If you haven't played contests, you also, I think it improves your handicapping because you have to think a little bit differently and find some value in the contest. Give it a shot, and you'll find they're a lot of fun. So certainly the tourney bets link is one to click on, and there you go. There are all kinds of contests every week via that, so jump on board. John, appreciate the visit. Congratulations to you and the board of directors on getting through a tough 2020, and we're looking forward to a good 2021.
Keep up the good work. Thanks, Seth.
Appreciate it. John Signor, Capital OTB president. We'll take a break. When we come back, we'll do a little recap of some of the stakes action from yesterday. Stay tuned.
Find your favorite teams, your favorite food, daily drink specials, and wagering on live horse racing? Legends Field Sports Bar, 711 Central Avenue, Albany. Get your game on day or night with 75 flat-screen TVs, tournament-style pool tables, a private banquet room, and live horse racing. So if someone asks you, where's the best sports bar in the capital region? Tell them, Legends Field Sports Bar, inside the Clubhouse Racebook, 711 Central Avenue, Albany.
What if there was a way to become a better horse player, to have a better knowledge of the game, to be more successful? What if there were a way to take what you've learned, what you know and make better decisions, better choices. In horse racing, knowledge is a powerful tool. Race results and replays, past performances and live streaming, wagering from all your digital devices. Capital OTB. Become a better horse player.
Welcome back to Racing Across America on this Sunday morning. I'm Seth Mauer, the first Sunday of 2021. Thanks again to John Signor for hopping in. We did want to, do a little 2020 recap, but more importantly, wanted to alert people to that new platform for watching Capital OTB TV. And as I said yesterday, it was kind of funny. We just went live a couple days ago, and as we were in here doing the OTB Live during the afternoon yesterday, I was looking at Twitter, and there were three or four folks commenting, hey, I'm watching on Roku and enjoy the programming. So it was fun to kind of see things kind of get fired up. Well, we hadn't even really made any kind of announcement or anything, but people were already jumping on board and enjoying it. Hopefully that just expands as we go forward and we expand the audience out to, again, some of the areas that we cover, but the television station doesn't get to some of the westernmost parts of our region, the northernmost part, so those folks certainly, but I'd like to expand to other parts of the country as well and just let them enjoy some of the programming, some of this morning programming we do, and then the afternoon programming as well. Certainly during Saratoga, I think people will plug into the couple hours we do live from the racetrack every morning. All right, let's get to stakes recaps from yesterday. We'll start with the Gravesend at Aqueduct, 5-horse field. It wasn't super exciting, but it was interesting with Happy Farm off the layoff and going from the Jason Service Barn to Linda Rice. Happy Farm took a lead early in the race, but boy, faded to fifth. I had Happy Farm underneath in the second spot, but as I was in doing the OTB Live yesterday and the handicapper's report in the morning, Happy Farm was a question mark, and the question was answered negatively with the fifth place finish. I used My Boy Tate. That one was disappointing, running fourth in the field of five as the 7-5 favorite. Down in the third spot, I used Pete's Play Call, and that's the horse that won. Now, I said my top pick was a little bit disappointing, my second pick was a little bit disappointing, but as I handicapped, I said I could have taken my top four and flipped them in almost any direction. I thought they were pretty evenly matched. So in the third spot, I had Pete's Play Call, the 3-horse here. Stan the Man as the second choice at 5-2. Made a late run, but Pete's Play Call got the jump on that one. Under Vargas and trained by Rudy Rodriguez, Pete's Play Call coming out of a claim last time. So first off the claim for Rudy, moving into stakes company, gets it done. Pretty solid 97 buyer in the Gravesend for Pete's Play Call. So again, it was a crafty claim by Rudy. You almost wonder, I mean, he claimed at the end of November. Rudy and Michael Dubb, the owner now, looking and maybe thinking, maybe the Gravesend opening weekend, opening 2021 weekend at Aqueduct for this one off the claim. But turns out to be, as I say, a crafty claim, picking the horse up for $62,500. And first off the claim, you win a $100,000 stakes race. So nice job there for Pete's Play Call in the Gravesend. Let's go over to Santa Anita. I said at the top of the show, probably the highlight of the stakes action was this sham at Santa Anita yesterday. Day before, we had the three-year-olds kicking off in New York in the Jerome. Capo Kane looked pretty good invading from Parks on Friday in New York. Saturday, out in Southern California, a field of five, but highlighted by Life is Good, who looks spectacular with a, you know, for a two-year-old, a 91 buyer late in the year is pretty solid, and that's what Life is Good came up with at Del Mar in the career debut. Well, Life is Good goes out off as the 1-5 favorite yesterday. Life is Good is going to be the number 5 horse. Medina Spirit, the other Baffert runner, makes a little bit of a run here late. And according to Jay Pribman's follow-up article in the Daily Racing Form, you know, it's limited folks on track, owners and trainers and whatnot. But he said, as this horse starts to make a move, there was an audible gasp from the crowd. But held safe by Life is Good with a 101 buyer. So you'd figure Medina Spirit in that one second start jumps from a 76 in the career debut to a 199 there, given the three-quarter length defeat, probably a 100. So a nice performance from both Baffert runners. The Baffert Exacta pays $7.60 with the 1-5 favorite on top, but Life is Good does get it done. And you can kind of see the horse drift a little bit in the stretch, and the follow-up article from Jay Pribman was quoting Bob Baffert as kind of essentially saying the horse was a little bit green, which is understandable. Only a couple of starts, but stretched out to a two-turn mile yesterday, so got some two-turn experience. Did wind up winning with, as I say, a triple-digit buyer, so Life is Good, as I said at the top of the show. Who would have thought? Bob Baffert, January 2nd, shows up in another year with a nice three-year-old to send down the Derby trail. I'm sure one of eight he'll have as the next couple of months progress, so we'll see how that works out for Life is Good moving forward. There were some three-year-olds on the docket down at Gulfstream as well. Talked about this race a couple of times yesterday, Handicapper Support, and then on Racing Across America, the Dania Beach three-year-olds on the turf. I continue to say I love this subdivision. I think it's a lot of fun, and this is the kickoff to three-year-olds on the turf down in Florida. Going a mile in the Dania Beach, I had Kentucky Pharaoh on top. I thought that one off the win last time, the maiden breaker, which was a move to turf. The horse went out and led all the way around for Jack Sisterson and Calumet and did the same yesterday in the Dania Beach. Kentucky Pharaoh will be the number two horse here. Again, turns for home and just kind of levels out. I thought, you know, the fractions were fairly legitimate, 23, 46, 110. Top of the stretch, I thought, uh-oh. But when he straightened out, man, he looked good. Fighting Force, who was the 3-5 favorite, hangs on for second for Todd Pletcher, Tabor Magner. They paid $400,000 for the horse, and that certainly is a horse with a little bit of talent also. But Kentucky Pharaoh now 2-for-2 on the turf, and that was a nice performance. Buyer figure came up an 80, which doesn't necessarily jump off the page, but given what we've seen from this horse, these horses before, probably in the ballpark, they improved, or Kentucky Pharaoh did, one buyer point off the win last time. But again, we're early in the three-year-old season now, 2-for-2 on turf, a couple of nice front-end runs, and as I say, man, when he turned for home and kind of got straightened out, he really looked good there. So Kentucky Pharaoh gets it done in Dania Beach, starts out the year as a nice-looking three-year-old on the turf. Again, in that subdivision, which I like, because all year long, almost every racing venue has one or two really nice stakes races for that three-year-old on turf subdivision as the year goes forward. So plenty of opportunities moving forward for that one. Next up was the Glitter Woman. These are newly turned three-year-old fillies going 6.5. Competitive Spirit, the number 3, is going to be the winner. Shop Girl, the number 7, runs second. And running third is Gone to Cabo. I liked Hit the Woe, as did the betting public. The 3-5 favorite, oof, runs fourth in here, and just a non-competitive fourth, but competitive speed, getting it done, chart margin 3 lengths, buyer figure was 75. Trainer Javier Gonzalez, a stakes-winning trainer in Puerto Rico, but this was his first stakes win in the United States, so congratulations there. They have a nice little runner. You know, again, the buyer figure was 75, so I'm not quite sure what the future holds for that, whether we will wind up seeing this one in the test, for instance, I don't know, but they've got a nice runner. This is a horse that in 4 career starts now, 3 wins. The debut effort wasn't much, but it's clearly one of those horses that benefited from that first out education and now has won 3 straight since, including the stakes win yesterday. I will note the maiden breaker was done for a $25,000 tag. So folks could have jumped in and wound up with a nice little stakes winner for $25,000 back in the middle of November, but nobody did. So these folks keep control of the horse and wind up winning the $75,000 Glitter Woman yesterday. Again, 75 buyer, but nice first stakes win in the country for the trainer. So congratulations to him and the connections. Let's move on a little later on the card at Santa Anita yesterday. It was the Limehouse. These are the three-year-old boys sprinting. And Drain the Clock gets it done in here. Number four horse, Drain the Clock, Edgar Zayas on board for Safi Joseph. I had this one down at the bottom of my mix. I wasn't quite sure what to do. I put Runway Magic, the six, on top. That one runs third. The number five, Tiger, runs second. Warrior's Pride and Highway Bound, the three and the two, were in my mix. They wind up not doing a whole lot in here. But Drain the Clock does get it done. And as I say, I had that one down in my mix. I wasn't quite sure what to do. And it's one of those that after the race, you kind of kick yourself that you had the horse that far down the mix, because won the career debut in the middle of September pretty convincingly, went off by six lengths, then moves into an optional claimer and career start number two, still runs a good winning effort, doesn't win off by as much, but a little bit of a trouble trip, still wins. Third career start, the iron broke and lost the jockey. So that's when you draw a line through. Now, the first two buyers were a little light, but, you know, we're talking a two-year-old in September and October. Now you draw the line through the stakes race where the horse lost the jockey, and you come back beginning of the three-year-old season. The potential was there to maybe step forward a little bit buyer-wise. And again, with the two wins already, and it's Safi Joseph, probably should have moved the horse up a little bit. And yeah, again, the horses I liked had things going for them that allowed you to tilt in that direction. But Drain the Clock now, again, the race where you lose the jockey, you draw a line through that. This horse is undefeated in three starts. So this is one that with the buyer being an 83, maybe we do wind up in a three-year-old, you know, the Woody Stevens of Belmont or something. I mean, I can certainly see this one as compared to the girls' version of the race. I can see Drain the Clock being maybe a little bit of an interesting three-year-old sprinter as the year goes forward. Again, with the 83 buyer yesterday, legit this time of year for the three-year-olds. Let's move on to the Ginger Brew. Again, we have the three-year-old boys on the grass in the Dania Beach. These are the three-year-old girls. I had it number three, Honey Pants, over number six, Con Lima. They looked like the two, and they wound up to be the two, but in flip-flop order as Con Lima takes them all the way around. Todd Pletcher and Paco Lopez, he established a lead early, and then she gets into the stretch and really just doesn't get challenged. Honey Pants, the horse I had on top, does get up late to wind up second by a head in here. You can see this one, ding-donging, just grinding down number seven, Designer Ready, who I had in the third spot. But Con Lima getting it done in stakes company in career start number six, had run second in a couple of stakes earlier. They have all kinds of options with this horse, and Todd Pletcher seemed to indicate that. Nice little three-year-old filly that now in six career starts has two wins on turf, an optional claimer last time and then a stakes race yesterday. But before that, the two stakes placing were off-the-turf events. So this horse can run. And the Maiden Breaker was a scheduled dirt race. So Con Lima, little three-year-old filly by Commissioner for Todd Pletcher and Company. Again, all kinds of options. And having a three-year-old on January 2nd, you would think they will explore all options because, you know, the three-year-old filly turf races are fine, but the Kentucky Oaks maybe out there singing to them a little bit. And it was a legitimate 80 buyer win. So, you know, this time of year for a three-year-old, an 80 is an okay number. And as I say, interesting to see where they elect to go with her, with options being fairly numerous, turf and dirt, with the talent this one has shown so far. And we have one more three-year-old race. Again, the Jerome with Capo Kane Friday in New York, the Sham with Life is Good out in Southern California yesterday, and in Florida, kicking off their Derby trail, was the Mucho Macho Man yesterday. I thought Big Thorn was a little bit interesting. That one disappointed, though. The number 10, Big Thorn, went off at 6-1, wound up sixth in the field of nine. I thought that was a horse worth taking a little pop with. Pick and Time was a horse we talked about on the show yesterday. Pick and Time, the number seven horse, goes off at 5-1 and disappoints, running fourth in the field of nine. The winner winds up to be Muta Sabik, who I just didn't know what to do with, and I admit I whiffed here taking a shot against. off the poor performance in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Turf. The horse had shown clearly some ability, winning a stakes race on the turf, winning the maiden breaker at Saratoga in the debut on the dirt. I just wasn't sure what to do, but now I am sure. Yesterday, nice performance over Papa Tu running second and Awesome Jerry running third. But Muta Sabik, betting public was not as confused as I was. The $1.10 to a dollar favorite and ran like that. A nice 87 buyer, solid buyer this time of year for a three-year-old. Chart margin was 1.5 lengths. Again, Todd Pletcher, Shadwell. Todd said in the winner's circle afterwards he was going to consult with the Shadwell people and see what might be next. Did they continue on the Florida, you know, Derby trail? I think the Holy Bull is up next. Do they continue there or what? But because, again, this horse is also a stakes winner on the turf, so their options are there too. You would think, you know, a prominent outfit like Shadwell with a three-year-old stakes winner on the dirt, you would think they will continue until the horse says otherwise to take steps towards the Kentucky Derby. But where and when will those steps be becomes a question mark. But it was a nice win yesterday for Muta Sabik. All right. I am going to take another break. When we come back, we'll have our handicapping segment. I think maybe I'll take a look at early pick four at Tampa. I had a nice ticket on the early pick four yesterday at Tampa. And then we came in for the bankroll later yesterday afternoon, and the wheels came off. The early part of the day was pretty good. So we will see if we can duplicate that today. And I'll maybe take a look at, as I say, that early pick four at Tampa after this break. So we will continue with Racing Across America after these messages. Stay tuned.
No matter where in the world you are, the excitement of wagering on horse racing is just a click away. You'll get live streaming, past performances, race replays, our virtual tote board, analysis and selections from professional handicappers, a simple, safe, and secure wagering platform, and best of all, you get track prices. CapitalOTBBet.com. Bet any place, anytime at CapitalOTBBet.com. And be sure to download our new mobile app from the iTunes Store or Google Play.
Having trouble finding us? It's actually quite simple. Whether online or on your TV, it's never been easier to watch and wager on championship horse racing with Capital OTB. Simply log on to CapitalOTBBet.com. There you can watch our morning shows, live stream races, and wager on our state-of-the-art wagering platform. You can also watch from the comfort of your home on Spectrum Cable Channel 1250 or Fios Channel 467. And win more with Capital OTB.
In a recent study of some of the top online wagering sites, Capital OTB won big in total player rewards, far surpassing some of the best-known wagering sites in America. While other rewards programs simply offer you points redeemable for gift cards, Capital OTB's rebates are paid to you in actual cash. Plus, Capital OTB gives you full and immediate access to your money. So if all you're getting now are points and gift cards, join Capital OTB Player Rewards today and get cash back. Visit CapitalOTBBet.com and sign up today.
Welcome back to the Sunday edition of Racing Across America. Reminder, later on this afternoon, if you want to swing down to the Clubhouse Racebook for the wrap-up to the NFL season, it's an NFL Sunday here at the Racebook. Watch all the racing action, all the football action as well. Root for the Jets to beat the Patriots. It's a completely meaningless game, but as a Jets fan, we all hate the Patriots, so let's see if they can win three in a row. cap off a wacky, horrible season for the Jets, but it would be a little exclamation point, so that'll be one to root for today. But you can watch all the football action, again, all the racing action as well, here at the Clubhouse Racebook this afternoon, 711 Central Avenue in Albany. I will say, as I left the house this morning, I was watching the weather. They're predicting a little snow this afternoon. I don't think it's going to be a big storm by any means, but if it does snow and you're hunkered down this afternoon, certainly stay tuned to the network, as we'll be back in an hour and a half or so with OTB Live for a Sunday afternoon, tossing out some ideas. And some of those ideas will include Tampa Bay Downs. And let me give you some ideas right now. Again, taking a look at the early pick four, which again, they bounce around at Tampa, given the number of races they have on a particular day. The pick four starts in either race two or race three. Today on Sunday afternoon, the early pick four kicking off in race number three. It's a bottom level claimer. 6 furlongs the trip in the third at Tampa. 4-7-1-5 perimeter on top. This is a horse that over the years we have seen bouncing around in New York and some of the other venues. Monmouth earlier this summer. A couple of races so far on the move down to Tampa, including the first start this season at Tampa, which was a nice win against a little bit lesser. Bounced up to this level last time and ran an okay third. Last two races, 6.5 and 7. Today, 6. I think with that race under the belt at this level, Gallardo has been on board the last two, on board again today. I think it all adds up with the cutback this afternoon. The perimeter is interesting at a 9-2 morning line, so maybe a little bit of value to kick off the early pick for. Elusive Row comes off of a nice close-up second-place finish against Lesser, was claimed out of that race. The trainer, with a limited sample, but the trainer does pretty well off the claim. So we'll put that one in the mix also. And then Magical Tale on the class relief for Louis Carvajal. A couple of nice starts most recently at Tampa, including a win against better. It was against better. 12-5, but conditional 12-5 versus open 6,250. But I still think that last one, even though it was conditional, is a better group than this today, class-wise. So I think coming off the win against that bunch last time makes Magical Tale dangerous as well. Race number 3, again, opening up an early pick for 4-7-1-5. Tampa's fourth race, maiden claimers at the 8 to 10,000 level, going a mile and 40. I have a 3-5-4-2. Madam Moon on top. A little third place finish last time against similarly priced horses, but over at GPW. So the Victor Barbosa trainee now makes the venue move across state, and I think the venue move may be a class move that'll be beneficial. I don't think it's a super, you know, I don't think it's a major class move necessarily, but I think it's maybe enough to put the horse in the thick of things this afternoon, particularly against this bunch. In this race, I'd probably be willing to go a couple of deep in the pick four and settle with that. So it's the 3 and the 5, maybe you pull a 4 in, but I think the 3 is logical. Tenerife Moon, the number 5, coming off a couple of tries most recently here at Tampa this season. 2 back, went a mile on the turf. Ran 4th, but I think the last race is a little more appropriate. It was a similar race class-wise, but it was a 5.5 furlong sprint. I think with that, those two under the belt, the turf mile, the 5.5 furlong sprint, this horse could be primed for a nice effort this afternoon. And so, as I say, I could probably go with going only a couple of deep in there, but Onesta, the number 4 horse, on a better effort, belongs. Threw in an okay second-place finish last time, but the number was a little bit light. But I wouldn't be surprised to see the horse move forward from that effort with a race over the track under the belt. So again, I'd probably feel okay going just the 3 and the 5, but if you want to be safe, the 4 gets pulled into the mix as well. 3-5-4-2 in race number 4 at Tampa. Race number 5 at Tampa this afternoon, maiden 16 claimers on the grass at a mile. And again, I haven't seen scratches or changes yet. We're assuming this is still on the grass, and also I don't know about the 11 because the 11 is the first horse, the only horse on the AE list, so we'll need some help to get in. But if Catch You Later does get in, may have the edge on this group coming down from Woodbine. 4, trainer Wayne Potts, who has those Woodbine runners up in New York this season as well, but he's doing the same thing down here at Tampa with this one. And I think class wise on the move from Woodbine, this horse may stack up nicely with this group, but needs help to get in from the AE list. Second spot, Get Back Home. Nice close-up third-place finish. 2 starts back at this level. And then last time, ran, you know, an okay 5th. The number improved a little bit. Again, in a very similar race last time. So seems kind of logical as a player as well. And then Canterbury Gold with the early speed may be dangerous. Tried this level last time. Showed the early speed before fading. And just does seem to lack the heart, really, to hold on late. But coming off some races where the horse has shown a little bit of life early, sometimes they get out there and they get brave, and the other ones don't get brave, and that speed can hold on. So I would be reluctant to leave that one out. particularly at what looks like will be a good, you know, these fade jobs. We have 8-1 on the morning line. I think some value will hold up. Clover Beach is maybe a player in here. Mariana Queen. It is not a strong field by any means. This is the race where you're probably going to want to spread a little bit in your pick four and hope that a little something at a price gets through. And I don't think that's out of the question because, again, it's not the kind of field you're going to jump in with a lot of confidence. In the fifth at Tampa, 11, 10, 5, and 2. If the 11 doesn't get in, pull the 1 into the mix. Sixth race, putting the my mic fell. I could feel my mic fall off there. So excuse me for dropping out of the frame. But if I didn't, you wouldn't have heard a word I said from here on in. But we'll get back to the sixth race, $25,000 conditional claimers. Going six, I have a 3, 5, 2, and 6. West Side Warrior, it's Gerald Bennett, it's Sammy Camacho. Coming off of a maiden-breaking win at the 25 level, now goes to 25 N2L, not a significant step up. Potent connections, good form currently. Sometimes they take a start or two to get through the next condition, but sometimes they just have done it in a way that says, you know what, this may not be an obstacle. More than anything, I'm kind of focusing on the team. It's a high percentage team down there going well at the meet, and I'm hoping they benefit West Side Warrior. There are horses, though, with better numbers that this horse is going to have to catch up to. One of those is Soaring Bird, claimed two back for $20,000, went into an optional claimer on the move from Churchill to Tampa last time, ran sixth, I think is more well-suited to this group this afternoon, so we'll put that one in the mix. And Fire Marshal Bill, also on a Churchill to Tampa move last time, threw in a little bit of a clunker against better, gets back to what is probably a more comfortable class level this afternoon with Dan Santino on board. Actually, I have that one down in the fourth spot, but I wouldn't ignore that one. Frontier Mesa is in the third spot for me, and I couldn't ignore the maiden breaker two starts back. The follow-up wasn't as good, has been off since April, so there's some question marks to be answered, but that Kelly Breen says, I'm going to look at the book, and then let's go over to Tampa from our Palmetto's base. Frontier Mesa is interesting in the return to the races, and then Fire Marshal Bill. So again, this is one where I could make a case for all four of these, and it depends on how you structure your ticket and what you can do, but in the sixth of Tampa, to wind up that early pick four, 3, 5, 2, and 6. And I mentioned Daniel Santino on the sixth Fire Marshal Bill. He got career win number 3,000 yesterday, so congratulations to him. I think it was the last race of the day at Tampa, and in dramatic fashion, he just got up to get career win number 3,000. And if you watch Tampa enough, and you have over the past few years, you are certainly familiar with Daniel Santino. Speaking of winners and records and notable names, the NYRA year-end winners, leaders, were announced a couple of days ago. Jose Ortiz winds up being the leading jockey year-long at NYRA. Not, you know, meet end or anything. This is the totals from January 1st to December 31st, Aqueduct, Belmont, and Saratoga. Jose Ortiz had 142 wins from 707 mounts at NYRA tracks this year. He finished 5 in front of Jose Lascano. Manny Franco was next. Irod Ortiz, his brother, wound up 4th, and Eric Cancel rounded out the top 5. On the trainer's side, surprise, surprise, Chad Brown led all trainers in 2020 in New York. He had 91 wins. It was the 6th consecutive year he was the leading trainer in New York. Won about $7.5 million in New York races. Todd Pletcher wound up 2nd, 10 wins behind. Then Ruy Rodriguez, Christophe Clement, and Linda Rice rounding out the top 5. And on the owner's side, it was Seth Klarman with Klarovich Stables leading all the owners. 48 wins during the year in New York. Purse money of over $3 million. Following Klarovich on the owner's side of things, leading in New York, Rapoli ran 2nd, Mike Dubb 3rd, and Drawing Away Stable 4th in there among the owners at New York tracks during 2020. So Jose Ortiz, Chad Brown, and Klarovich, the leaders. Jockey, trainer, owner, January 1st to December 31st at the 3 New York tracks. All right, I'm going to wind it up for a Sunday morning on Racing Across America. Again, we'll be back in now or an hour and a half or so to kick off an OTB Live for Sunday afternoon. We certainly invite you to stay tuned for that. And a reminder again, football Sunday here at the Clubhouse Racebook. If you'd like to swing by and enjoy your racing action from here this afternoon, you can come in and grab some lunch and enjoy the racing and have some fun watching football and racing. Clubhouse Racebook, 7-Eleven Central Avenue in Albany. Otherwise, if you're hungered down at home, enjoy us for the afternoon. As I say, I will be back in about an hour and a half or so with OTB Live. I want to thank our friends at Gulfstream for their sponsorship of some of the programming here on the network. Really appreciate their support. Gulfstream Park having, again, a very fun and interesting championship meet. We'll see a lot of notable horses there as we did yesterday in stakes action. A lot of great racing on the other days as well. So thanks again to Gulfstream Park for their sponsorship. All right, I'm going to wrap it up for Racing Across America. Again, we'll be back in about an hour and a half or so with OTB Live. We'll see you then.
You're watching OTB TV, a service of Capital Off-Track Betting.